Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our loving and gracious Father in heaven, we come before thee again in this afternoon hour. We come together to pray and to worship thee, to magnify thy great name, to thank thee for all the good that thou hast done. And also at times we come, Lord, thou dost know where we are, with a prayer, even as we have sung, to be heard and to be comforted by thy precious word. We pray that thou would provide that which we are needing. Thy word is sufficient and can feed and nurture and provide for each and every need. And we pray that thy spirit would be with us, that thou would speak to each and every heart. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the help of the Lord, I desire that we would read together from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I wish to read the first 10 verses with God's help. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The words of the Lord to Apostle Paul were, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This past midweek service, thought was shared that is based on this, strength being made perfect in weakness. And it was meant to be an encouragement not to shy away from or walk back from the challenges and the loss that may come as we are convicted by the Holy Spirit to follow Christ's ways. The idea is that that strength that we know of God, that we know from experience, goes only as far as the deepest struggle, the challenge that we've faced. We know with our minds and we know through faith that God can do anything. But that knowledge and that wisdom that comes to us from God's word, it becomes tangible when we experience the strong hand of the Lord supporting and helping us. And we know that most acutely when the hardship is the darkest, when it's the hardest challenge, when it's beyond our capability, and we trust in the Lord, we turn ourselves, and even as was mentioned this morning, surrender. And that idea of the strength of God and deeper strength that we know, than we know, awaiting for us, just on the other side of that trial or that thing that we may avoid, that we don't want to deal with, can be motivating to know that God's strength is there and that we will learn more about Him and that we can build up experience which brings hope and hope that that makes not ashamed, so that we would not turn away, not be afraid to face and to deal with the loss that comes in embracing the cross of Christ in all its various forms. I was really encouraged and moved even as we heard this morning. There's something that's stronger than strength, and that is submission. And it brought itself out in real clear clarity this morning. The opportunity for spiritual strength and all those angels that Jesus could have called down, Jesus did not use them to change his situation or impose his will. But there was an angel that came to minister to him. The spiritual resource, the spiritual strength, is often not given to change our situation, but to bolster our faith, that we would be able to endure and go through the trial and trust in God throughout it. And for this afternoon's meditation, there is something else waiting. There's something else waiting in the dark times. There's something else waiting in trials and hardship, in loss, for us to experience that comes in no other way but through those hardships. And that is the grace that is sufficient. Not only is God's strength waiting to be revealed in a new and powerful way, but the tenderness of the love of God is also there. In those deepest of hardships, in those challenges that seem insurmountable, we, by faith, we see Christ in his suffering. We relate to him. And we know that he faced it. He faced it all for us. It's my prayer that the meditation on the word would be a motivator, would be an encouragement, not to be ashamed of the gospel, not to be ashamed of what God is calling you to. You may have to deal with something in a relationship. You may have to leave a relationship. You may have to suffer loss physically. I don't know what it is that you are facing. I don't know what it is that Jesus is teaching you about letting go, that he wants to take out of the realm of just the concept and the idea and bring it into tangible life for you to demonstrate his truth. I don't know what it is. But in that, at the other side of the boundary of where we've gone and where we've been comfortable, there's a refreshing fountain of the love of God and a grace that is sufficient for us. To know that he understands, that he feels, and he felt every single pain, and that he can provide and be sufficient. He can be exactly what we need. There's a limit to strength. There's a limit to doing everything that we can to impose our will on our situation. We heard about that a lot this morning in a very powerful way. And we see it perfectly in Jesus Christ. And there's great benefit and great blessing in waiting on the Lord, calling upon him, seeking him for help, and finding in him, even as Apostle Paul did these three times, seeking the Lord three times to be delivered from this situation and find the answer, the solution. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And to have that true joy and peace that, yes, this is all that is needed. That the situation can be dire, it can be harsh, it can be painful, but me in this painful situation and the Lord and his comfort and tenderness of his love, that we can accept it. There's three passages of Scripture that I'd like to look at with the Lord's help to illustrate this idea and how this has worked out in days that have passed, and to encourage us. The first one is at the time of the fall. In Genesis chapter 3, we remember the story. Maybe you can turn to it to look at it for yourself. We remember that Eve was tempted and she was deceived by the serpent, took of the fruit and gave to Adam. And at that moment, they realized that they were naked, and they felt for the first time fear, obligation, pressure, and they begin to act, and they act in haste. They have a problem on their hands, and they try to solve it on their own. Their eyes are opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And we know the story that they could not hide long, and God was searching for them, asking, "Where art thou, Adam?" And he speaks with Adam and asks, "Why have you done this?" And he gives his excuse and rationale that his wife had given it to him. And the Lord declares to them what the consequences of their actions were. But immediately following, just the harsh reality of what they had done and how they had tried to solve it, in verse 21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." This is a situation where mankind feels the pressure, feels the obligation, feels fear for the first time. He throws something together to try to cover up himself in a very physical way and also in a very spiritual way. And in part of God's response is one of compassion and acknowledging that what they had figured out and what they tried to do on their own was insufficient. It was insufficient. The covering that they came up with, the solution that they said, we're going to go this path, it was insufficient. And God provided for them. God provided them coats of skins and clothed them. The world that we live in and the experiences that we have in life haven't made it any easier in terms of the pressure that we're under. And this goes for men and for women. But I feel it would be appropriate to just simply acknowledge the unique pressures that women are often under. And sometimes it's that carnal nature that brings it upon oneself. There is a very practical application of this, in that the solution that man comes up with for clothing is insufficient, and God provides an alternative that they graciously accept. And then there's even a higher level, that man's way for dealing with sin is insufficient, and God provides. What is it like to be in a moment of pressure? What is it like for a young girl, perhaps, to be pressured into the ideas that man has for what's good and acceptable and right for clothing? And there's other pressures. Pressures of managing life. Pressures of various ways of keeping up of appearance. Managing a home. Managing expectations of friends. Managing a schedule without it becoming crazy. And all of these pressures focusing in for you to perform and to meet the mark and for you to come up with a solution. Let's see how you will deal with it. And all those pressures are seeking to extract from you and take away from you and set the bar. It never feels like in that situation that somebody can come and offer relief. When it does happen, it's great comfort. And that's exactly what God is doing here. Man has found himself in this situation, poured upon by his own doing, with pressure, with fear, and he's thrashing about, seeking a way to manage, seeking a way to fulfill the obligations that they feel that they're under now. And God is saying, I have another way for you. That way of thrashing about, to deal with it in a way that's insufficient, is not necessary. You don't need to follow the world's standards of fashion or the high expectations of somebody else that can do something much better than you. God wants you, and he offers you as an alternative to all the pressures and all the things that are pressing down to make you something into the world's image. God offers you, be faithful. Be faithful in the way that you adorn yourself. Be faithful in how you influence younger people or your own children. Be faithful in the way that you relate to your family or husband, brothers or sisters or father. Be faithful in the way that you allocate your time. Just one thing he asks of you, be faithful. You won't be everything to every person. And you won't be able to compare to everyone in their gifts and their abilities. But God gives you something as an alternative to those strivings that will never satisfy, and that is faithfulness. Faithfulness in the big and faithfulness in the small. Faithfulness in the things that are long-term and faithfulness in the things that are short-term and seem to repeat over and over and over again, like putting away laundry or dishes. Do it with love and faithfulness. That's God's way. And it's sufficient. It's sufficient for all the pressures. And it's sufficient as a release and a relief. And that goes for both men and women. We all are struggling with pressures. But God calls us to one thing that's needful. To be faithful. So whatever you do, and whatever you're engaged in, consider what is God's alternative to what the world offers. And be faithful. It's good to spend time in the garden. In the early chapters of the Bible, they speak much to our very condition. There is a verse that we often think of in hard times that encourages us, that we remember often. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What a joyful expression of confidence and hope in the Lord. What an understanding of the love of God and his nearness and dearness to a man's life. That the compassions and mercy of God are new every morning. Do you know where to find that verse? That verse is found in the book of Lamentations. The book that describes one of the darkest chapters of Judah's history. We heard this morning about how the angel conquered the Assyrian army as they surrounded Jerusalem in Hezekiah's day. That's when the Assyrian army came. But when Babylon came, there was no angel because the time of judgment had come. And Nebuchadnezzar's army came into the city and they destroyed the walls and they left it burnt. They took the best of the people back with them and left the poor to fend for themselves. And the writer of Lamentations describes the situation as one that's dark and that's hopeless, one of destruction and despair. You can picture in your minds the picture when there was war in Syria and how there were blocks and blocks of buildings that were completely destroyed and the cement is just showing from every cavity of the buildings. And there's perhaps children that are walking through there. And there's smoke. And there's ashes. And nobody knows where to turn. He describes it like this. The beginning of the chapter, of the book says, "How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces, how is she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. That's how the book begins and how the book ends. For our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Because the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. This is the darkness of the setting. This is the situation. It's the dark moment. It's the trial. It's the loss that you never wanted to face, that you tried to avoid by skirting the issue. But even in this dark moment of judgment, which they rightly deserve, the writer of Lamentations, in the middle chapter, in the middle of this book, like a diamond in the middle of black rock, he says, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. He is gone through and he is present at the moment when the trial is hardest, when the loss is greatest. But he's there. He's not consumed. He's alive. He's able to think. He's able to process what is going on. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. To the soul that seeketh the Lord, in the hard times of trial and loss, there is a blessing and an understanding of God's goodness, his mercy, and understanding that it's good for us to wait for him, not to rush with our own solution. What was your dark time? What was the experience that was the deepest depth? Did you also confront the tenderness of God's love and his mercies and compassion and know that they never fail, that they are sufficient? It's my hope and prayer that we would take advantage of the testing that we go through to grow and to know the tenderness of the love of the Lord in a more acute and more personal way. And the final place to go is in the New Testament, in the book of Philippians. Apostle Paul speaks of many beautiful truths. And in chapter 3, he speaks about what the world might consider the good things of life, his advantages, his heritage, where he came from, and also his reputation. He says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. So that's his heritage, that's where he's coming from. But then he talks about his credentials. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. These are all things that were being accumulated to his resume. And this may be a little bit more come close to home for a man who's thinking about a reputation and how he's viewed by others and might see that the work that we do might contribute to our worth or our value or how we see ourselves. And sometimes that can be all the good things that we can heap up and list off that focus the attention on self. But other times it is the things that we speak negatively, we speak bad, we speak, nobody would want me, nobody would care for me, I'm not good at anything. But it's all about me, me, me. Whether the resume that you're putting together that defines how you value yourself and your worth, if it's about self, it needs to go. And that can be a painful and difficult thing to do. It can be just as difficult as the pressures that are put on by external forces, because they come from ourselves. And who will we turn to blame for that? So it is an especially difficult challenge. It's an especially high bar to put away the resume, to put away the things about ourselves. But that self-denial is part of the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ that the Lord does not want us to turn away from. And Paul gives great encouragement about his experience of what happened when he finally surrendered and let go. He recognized, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. These words have ministered and been a great source of comfort in hard times. Jesus is waiting to be seen in that hardest moment, so that we might have this, what Paul says, is the fellowship of his sufferings. We go through that hard loss. We go through that rejection. And then we turn to Christ and we recognize he faced that and much more. How much and how tender is his love to me. And that grace is sufficient. That grace carries us through. And we are encouraged. We're given hope because of what he has laid down for us. May we also in hope lay down everything that we might seek to gain, accumulate, or to take pride in for his purpose, and find what Paul found, that God's grace is sufficient for us, and that the Lord's strength would be made perfect in our weakness.